Welcome to the One Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Kokoska. You know, each one of us wants more. We want more out of our careers, our relationships, and our personal lives. At the same time, we want less. We want fewer distractions and less on our plate. So regularly, I get the opportunity to interview people who have achieved extraordinary results through narrowing their focus to their one thing. And today I've got Mark Sanborn. He's the president of Sanborn & Associates Incorporated. He's an award-winning speaker and author of 8 books. Mark, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Sean. It's great to be with you.
Excellent, Mark. Now tell us, just for the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about you and how you became president of Sanborn & Associates Incorporated.
I founded my business over 25 years ago as a full-time speaker and author working in the areas of leadership development, customer service, and how to turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. I have been a full-time speaker and worked with leaders at literally every level, from entry level to C-level, as an advisor and a speaker. And one of my passions is helping people learn to lead or lead better. And we do that through a process of the books I write, the training programs I develop, and the speeches I give.
Good job, Mark. Now, understanding that purpose, how does that drive you to priority?
I think being very clear on what the point of my arrow is the secret to success in my business, and as the one thing teaches, the secret to success in any business, because it gives us a sense of clarity so that we can sort through the options. You know, I learned a long time ago that the old cliche is true, that good is enemy of best. And we have to know really what our primary purpose is and what it is that we need to do to achieve it, or else we end up chasing a lot of rabbits down a lot of different trails.
Excellent. I love the way you put that it becomes your arrow. Understanding the purpose drives you to priority. So what's your one thing in business right now?
My one thing in business right now is being in front of as many of the right audiences, delivering my message as I possibly can, because that's really the most leverageable part of driving my intellectual property and the access that people have to it. So it's about speaking, and I certainly do other things, but that is my one thing right now.
Great answer. Now, how have the one thing principles changed or impacted the vision of Sanborn & Associates?
Well, I think it's allowed, as I said earlier, for us to avoid a lot of the distractions. Early on in my career, I was continually being bombarded with, and I use the word loosely, opportunities. And what I found is that there's often very little difference between an opportunity and a distraction. An opportunity may be a legitimate chance to do something else or something different, but it could take away from the energy and the resources, you know, whether that's time or money, that you have to devote to your one thing. And I think a lot of people aren't really sure what they want to do, what they like to do, or what they're good at doing. And so they create a lot of motion in their life, but they don't create a lot of momentum.
Great. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk to you about the 6 lies that Gary Keller outlines in The One Thing. And which of the 6 lies do you think is the most challenging in your industry?
I think it's multitasking. And I don't mean chasing different opportunities. I mean just bouncing around between activities. And we now know that not only do you lose focus and get less done, but that multitasking at an intellectual level is really a myth. We really aren't multitasking. We're task-changing. And it's inefficient. It slows us down, and it creates the perception that we're getting more done, but the reality is we're not. There's been a lot written lately about the fact that multitasking really is misunderstood and really is more of a myth than it is a practical way to get things done.
Right on. Now, at MAPS Business Coaching, we have a saying, and that is, don't mistake movement for achievement. And I think that's what you're kind of speaking to there. Would you agree?
Well, I say in my work, never confuse activity with accomplishment. Very often, we accomplish more by doing less, and that seems counterintuitive, but what it really means is we stop trying to do lots of things at once and accomplish something significant by focusing on what really matters.
That's exactly right. Now, Gary Keller, he outlines the 3 commitments, which is committing to self-mastery, moving from E to B, P, and inviting in accountability. So what are the greatest challenges in holding those commitments from your perspective?
My observation conservation is the greatest challenge is the E to P, because most people stop once they reach satisfactory rather than mastery. I think that, good enough is good enough sometimes applies to things that aren't priorities, but when it applies to the one thing that we do, we short sell ourselves, our colleagues, and our customers. I think that a lot of people are moving so quickly that they're content to be satisfactory in their performance rather than masterful.
Right. And we both know that one of the things that allows us to be approach our business with that mastery mentality is asking the focusing question. Now, how often do you ask that focusing question?
I probably ask it subconsciously a good bit, because that's always been a guiding principle for me. I think that the focusing question simply gave me a different way to look at what I call the bigger picture. I like to have a singular focus and work backwards, kind of what I call reverse engineering. Stephen Covey famously called it, begin with the end in mind. And I think a lot of people begin with the beginning in mind and end up somewhere totally different at the end. So the focusing question, or what I call the bigger picture, or the reverse engineering, they're all ways of developing and identifying the shortest path between where you are and where you want to be.
Excellent. Now, with this reverse engineering in mind, Gary Keller calls it goal setting to the now. Have you completed that exercise? And if so, what was your takeaway from that, or what we call your aha?
Well, I think I've got to say that I didn't have a new insight, but a reinforced aha that it paves the road for very specific actions towards very specific ends. I also think it's a great tool, as someone who works in leadership development, for teaching others how to do what I fortunately learned to do kind of intuitively and on my own. So maybe the aha for the focusing question there is not just how we can benefit from using it, but how we can use it with our colleagues, our teammates, and for that matter, even our kids.
Great answer. Now, Gary Keller likens extraordinary success to a domino run or a geometric progression, because success is sequential, it's not simultaneous. So other than goal setting to the now or reverse engineering, what other strategies do you use to identify the dominoes that exist in your business?
I look for leverage, for ways to use what I've already accomplished to create bigger benefit and greater good. I would say social media is a good example, because very often people will communicate good ideas or information or create engagement, but they just use it in one platform instead of looking for ways to leverage that across multiple platforms. I think in the books that I've written, You Don't Need a Title to Be a Leader is probably the closest to the one thing principles, because one of the six keys that I talk about that all leaders do is they create shared focus. I say that successful people are focused, but leaders create shared focus. And in a way, that's what really leverages the leader's time, expertise, and energy.
Excellent, Mark. Now, if I wanted to find out more about you, or let's say I'm in an organization and I wanted to engage you as a speaker for our event, how would I get in touch with you?
Well, Sean, I think that'd be a terrific idea. And if anyone wants more information, or they just want to access my work, and I provide a lot of intellectual property for free, because I'm a big believer that if you can prove value in advance, that that's an assurance that you can deliver value once someone engages you. But the best place to find out about me and my work is marksanborn.com, because that has the connections to all of my other social media. It's where I publish a blog on a weekly level or a weekly basis. So marksanborn.com would be the place to go.
Perfect. Now, Gary Keller talks about the four thieves in the book. Now, which of the four thieves is most challenging for you to manage?
Definitely saying no. I think that my inability to say no has gotten me into things that I had the best intentions of being a nice guy to do, but weren't the best use of my time, and probably shortchanged me, my family, and my clients, because I couldn't say no to something that I thought might cause someone to think less of me or was a poor investment of my time. So it's pretty easy. For me, it's about saying no.
Right, right. Now, which part of Gary Keller and Jay Papasan's book impacted you the most?
I would say the power of simplicity, the ability to cut through the complexity in our lives. I love Occam's razor. Occam was a theologian, a clergyman who said, make things as simple as possible, but not simpler. And I think that the one thing is a good example of making things simple without making them simplistic. Simplistic is bad. Simplistic can be, you know, incomplete or juvenile or silly, but simple gets things down to their irreducible minimum. And I think that's what the principles of the one thing help people do.
That's exactly right. Now, Gary Keller and Jay Papasan, they talk about being open to accountability. So how has being open to accountability improved your life and your business?
My own ability to create accountability in others is probably the biggest benefit. My friend, Dr. Henry Cloud, shares a great example of the difference between accountability as it's typically practiced and accountability as it should be practiced. You know, typically we think that accountability is asking other people to tell us or remind us of what we should be doing. And of course, we all know that that can be rather ineffective. You know, if I'm trying to lose weight and you just say, hey, Mark, are you exercising every day? I can do one of three things. You know, I can exercise every day. I can maybe fudge the truth a little bit and say that I am when I'm not, or I can just plain lie about it just to get them off my back. You know, Henry says that good accountability might be, for example, instead of asking someone if they're exercising, show up at their house with your running shoes and say, let's go for a run. And it's that involvement or that engagement, that interaction, that really helps us create true accountability with others in a much more real and supportive way than simply nagging them or asking them questions to produce guilt.
Right. I love that perspective. Now, shifting gears again, talk to me about your bunker. I assume you've built a bunker, you've swept for mines, you've stored provisions and enlisted support. How have you done that?
I've done that a number of ways. My office is about 8 miles from my home, and this is a place that I can come and have all my resources and all the technological tools that I need to do my my creation. But a lot of my best thinking, oddly for me, is done in public places where people don't know me, like a Starbucks or a restaurant or a brew pub, where I can take a beverage and think and not be interrupted by people coming over and asking me questions because they recognize me. But there's something about the energy of other people, even when I'm not engaged with them, that helps me in the creative process. But one of the things I always make sure I do, whether I'm in my office or I'm in one of those public places, or occasionally I'll retreat to a place on the Continental Divide that's really out in the middle of the wilderness, and that is make sure that I'm not accessible by cell phone or email, because I think those are the two things that, you know, penetrate our bunkers most frequently, or that cause us to suddenly say, hey, I need to send an email, or I need to make a quick call, and then get us off course.
All right. Well, I think we can all relate to that. So, Mark, share with us your parting thoughts and words of wisdom.
Well, I think it's always good to remember that it's hard to live a high-performance life in a low-performance body. And that doesn't mean we have to be fanatics about exercise or health, but it does mean we need to pay attention to what we eat and how much physical activity we get. We know that just 6 minutes of reading can reduce stress. We know that 30 minutes of brisk activity like walking can go a long way to not only improving your health, but staving off things like cognitive decline and Alzheimer's. So I always encourage people not to just get stuck inside their head, but to couple their head with their heart and exercise, eat well, and stay in good shape so that you've got a lot of energy to bring to your day and to the people in your lives.
That's excellent advice, Mark. And I want to thank you for your time today. I sincerely appreciate it. And thank you to our listeners as well. Guys, remember to go to theonething.com, that's with the number one, and check out our training opportunities, workshops, keynote opportunities, as well as coaching. And I look forward to the next time we get to speak. Until then, be on purpose, be powerful, and be productive.